Amen. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. We'll be looking in chapter 23, beginning in verse 44. Luke 23, beginning in verse 44. It all comes down to this. Before the nails were nailed into his hands and his feet, before the spear was put into his side, before the crown of thorns were laid upon his brow, before Gethsemane, before Palm Sunday, before the driving out of the money changers in the temple, before the feeding of the 5,000, before the baptism and the temptation, before Bethlehem, before the prophets, before the law, before Moses on Mount Sinai, before Abraham was called and his name was changed, before Adam and Eve in the garden, it all comes down to this. We read in Revelation that Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We know that in eternity past, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit determined to send His Son to die upon a cross. For what purpose? He was sent to pay for my sins and your sins. Before the laying of the foundations of the world, Jesus would come and die. And what we find out is that this singular event, this is the climactic event of all world history. This is what history has been coming to. This event of Jesus upon the cross. And as we've looked at these seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, we've seen Jesus speak words of forgiveness from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We've heard words of anguish from the cross. We've heard, my God, why have you forsaken me? We've heard the word, I thirst, and the word, it is finished. We've heard Jesus look to his mother and say, Mother, behold your son, and to the beloved disciple, behold your mother. We've walked through every one of these sayings, and now we come to the last and final saying of Jesus on the cross. This saying is found in Luke, and Luke recorded the way in which Jesus died. Today, as we read the scriptures, we are able to see that the death of Jesus teaches believers today many lessons that we should learn. And so today I want us to learn some lessons from the death of Jesus. We begin reading in verse 44 and we read this. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breast. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. We know that the Word of God is living and breathing. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce between soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, even dividing the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So before we consider this text, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that you have loved us so much that you sent your Son to die on a cross for us. Father, we pray this morning as we read your word, we pray that a clear picture of how you love us would be made to us, that we'd be able to know that you are a God who loves us so much that you would send your Son to die on our behalf. We pray, Father, that you would help us to learn these lessons from the cross, that we'd be able to go into our lives tomorrow and the next day bringing you glory and proclaiming your name. We thank you so much for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. What are some lessons that we can learn from this last saying of Jesus on the cross? What are some lessons? Well, today I have just three. There probably are many, many more, but the first lesson I want to look at is a lesson of trust. A lesson of trust. We have witnessed Jesus go through the most excruciating thing that any human being can go through. In fact, the death of Jesus The death of Jesus was so severe that no mere human being could ever bear its weight. We know that the death of Jesus was not just a physical ordeal. We can read about the physical ordeals of crucifixion. We can read about the historical analysis of crucifixion, and these things are bad enough. But what we find when we read the scriptures about the crucifixion was that it was not just physical, but there was a stroke that justice gave, that Jesus drank the full cup of the wrath of God upon the cross. And that in this, Jesus was alienated from his heavenly Father and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet now it's the sixth hour. Now it's the sixth hour. That is, it's around noon. And yet it doesn't look like noon out. Why? Because darkness is over the whole land until the ninth hour. That is about 3 p.m. So for 3 hours, the sun is supposed to be at the peak spot in the sky, and yet it is dark all over the land. The sun's light failed. And Jesus, knowing that it is his time, cries out with a loud voice and says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What we find about this is that Jesus died as he lived, trusting in his heavenly Father. Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, Jesus, the one who has always been perfect, this is the same Jesus that at the age 12, the first words that we hear from his mouth, when he has gone missing and Mary and Joseph are looking for him, they find him in the temple, and he tells his parents, did you not know that I would be about my Father's business? This is the Son, trusting in the Father, just how he lived every day. This Jesus trusted in his Father. From the time that he was born in Bethlehem to the time that he died, he trusted fully in his Father. And here Jesus, at his weakest physical point, cries out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What a religion we have. Our religion is very unique. Our religion is unique in the sense that there is no other religion that can honestly call God Father. In fact, this separates Christianity and Islam. Islam and Christianity, we both claim the God of Abraham, and yet it would be anathema. You would be cursed. You would be cut off if you ever in Islam referred to God as Father. In fact, just recently, a few years ago, there was a book that was published by a young Muslim lady who came to know Jesus, and the title of her biography was, I Dared to Call Him Father. In fact, you and I, today, we still dare to call him Father because Islam is right on something. They're right on the fact that God is high above us, and how dare we call him Father? Except God has made a way to be known as Father. And that Jesus is this example of calling God Father. That you and I, sinful human beings who were made in the image of God, and yet through our own choices, through our own sinfulness, we were cut off from him. Yet God has made a way that we are able to call him Father. We are able to refer to him as Father, and Jesus does so on the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, as we think about the cross, we see that this is the perfect time for Jesus to trust in his Father because Jesus has done the work. Jesus is trusting God now at this point. Now at this point, it is all his heavenly Father's work. Jesus has done the work that he set out to do. The work that was determined for him before the foundation of the world, that the earning of the righteousness, doing all things perfectly, obeying the law to the T. Jesus has done this. Moreover, Jesus has bled and died. Jesus has taken all of our sins. He has paid for them in full. And now he says, Father, I have done everything. There is only one thing left to be done, and that is giving up my spirit. And Father, I'm trusting you. What is he trusting his Father to do? What's he trusting his Father to do? He's trusting his Father to keep his word. Maybe Jesus upon the cross was thinking about the words of David. Maybe Jesus was thinking about the words that would later be preached by Stephen. In the book of Acts. Maybe he's thinking about the words that Christians would echo time and time again, where David wrote that God would not allow his servants' bones to remain in the grave. Maybe Jesus was thinking about all the prophecies, all the words that God had spoken that said that Jesus is the anointed ones and he will receive the nations as his footstool and all his enemies will be given to him. And Jesus, trusting in the word and the promise of God, he says, I'm committing my spirit to you. I know you will give me life. I know you will raise me from the dead. And by raising me from the dead, you will prove to the world that I am who I say I am. Jesus trusted in his Father. In fact, the whole ordeal of the cross, we see that Jesus is trusting in the Father. How do we see that? We see that in the fact that just about every word that Jesus says from the cross is from Scripture. That Jesus quotes the Psalms. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. I thirst. Psalm 69. Even this right here, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, is from the Psalms. Jesus was quoting Scripture upon the cross. He was quoting prophecy upon the cross. Jesus was trusting in the word of his Father because he knew that that word would accomplish its purposes. He knew that that word is settled in heaven and that the foundations of God's throne are justice and righteousness. And God knew, Jesus knew that his God would not allow him to see corruption. No, God would raise him from the dead. Jesus died as he lived, trusting in the Father. But not only do we see the lesson of trust, we also see a lesson of power. A lesson of power. After all this time of crucifixion, no man should have been able to cry out with a loud voice. No man should have been able to cry out anything at this point in crucifixion, and yet the power of the Savior is seen here. Many would read this and they would read about the weakness of our Savior. But what we see is that the weakness of man is the power of God. And that Jesus cries out with victory. Now is the time. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This is the echo, once again, of what we talked about last week in his cry, "It is finished." That Jesus did not have his life taken from him. No, Jesus gave it up. Today, no one in here determined when they would be born. No one in here. You didn't have a say in the matter. Sorry. If you were born, I was always so mad at my mama because I was born in January. You can't have a pool party in January. I always wanted a pool party. You can't have one in January. Even in Mississippi, you're gonna be in trouble if you have a pool party in January, right? And I would ask mama, why did you have me in January? I didn't have a choice in that. You didn't have a choice in your birth. Neither do you know what day you will die. Neither do you have the authority to choose your death day. We talk a lot about issues of life today in our world. One of those issues is the issue of assisted suicide. And the reason why believers are stand against this is because you and I were not given the power to take life. We cannot take life. We did nothing to earn it. It was given to us. And the one who gave it will take it away one day. But until then, we live. And yet here we have a Savior who has the authority over life and death. Jesus determined when he would be born. When the time had passed, when all these things had come to pass, he was born in Bethlehem. And now Jesus determines the date of his last breath. In fact, this breath, this fatal breath, this one was determined before all of time. And Jesus, in power and authority, determines now is the time to commit my spirit. Why has he determined it? He has determined it because in his power, he understands he has won victory. Jesus had crossed the finish line. And when you cross the finish line, there's no sense in keeping on running. He had done everything well. He finished. He completed his work. And so he knew it was time to commit his spirit to the Lord. And he would be resurrected. And he would be set in the power and the authority of the right hand of his Father. He knew all these things had taken place. And so at this time in victory, he commits his spirit. What a powerful God we serve. What a Jesus we serve. One who does not have his life taken from him, but one who gives it up on our behalf. When we talk about the cross, there are many who scoff and who look at the cross and they say, well, that's just divine child abuse. Why would God torture Jesus for sins that he didn't commit? And our answer is, you don't understand our God and you don't understand the cross. Jesus was not a hopeless victim. Jesus, in power and authority, took up the cross. It was his choice
to go to the cross. It was His choice to be obedient. It was His choice to take upon Himself our sins. He chose it. And so because of that, because Jesus chose it, because Jesus endured every last drop, it now pleases the Father to raise Him from the dead and save you and I from our sins. This is a lesson of power. What is true power? What is power? You and I can talk about power, and we see our world today is entrenched with finding power. Where can we get power? It always makes me scratch my head when I see somebody trying to find power in the church. I'm going to get as much power as I can in the church. Oh, you've heard those stories, right? You've heard about the wayward church member who it's his church and don't ever ask anybody about it. You've heard about that. And it's interesting to me that God has chosen our church, those are the weak things in the world, to shame the wise. What is power? It's not grabbing. It's not grabbing authority. It's not grabbing. It's not grabbing our name to be great. It's not grabbing any of these things: reputation, money, authority. None of these things are power. Power is laying down our life. Power is what Jesus did on the cross. Power is the weakness of man, because we know from the scriptures that while we are weak, Jesus is strong. In fact, in our weakness, His power is made perfect. You want to know what power is? Man, power is loving your wife as Jesus loved His church. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. What is power? Man, you want to be powerful? Oh, we need some men today that will be powerful. And what does Jesus tell us in Ephesians? He says, powerful is loving your wife as Jesus loved the church, dying on the cross for her, dying daily for her, dying for your family, sacrificial living, not thinking of yourself as the greatest, but thinking of others as greater than yourself. This is true power. This is what Jesus does on the cross, and He gives us this lesson. What is power? Power is not buying into the things of the world. Oh, could you imagine that fateful day when Jesus stood and saw the kingdoms of the world with Satan standing near Him, and Satan says to Him, Jesus, if you would just bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things. That's temptation. That's real temptation. Jesus is being told that He can have all this power, all this authority, all the nations, all the world. But Jesus understood that power does not come easy. That victory does not come easy, no. That there can be no crown without a cross. Jesus could not be king unless He gave His life for His church. Those nations were worthless unless He paid for them with His own blood. And so today we learn that power is not what the world tells us. No, power is what we are modeled for in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. The last lesson we have today. We have the lesson of trust, Jesus living and trusting His Father and everything that He did. We see the lesson of power, Jesus giving up His life for us. And last but not least, we see the lesson of purpose. The lesson of purpose. There has never been someone in this world who has lived their life so purposely as Jesus did. Every action that Jesus did was on purpose. Every word that He did was on purpose. And that purpose was for this event, to prepare Him to be the spotless Lamb who would take away the sins of the world. Jesus had purpose, and He says, Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit. Why did He say that? Because the purpose of His life had come to an end. He had run the race. He had finished. He had lived with purpose. Today we are reminded. We are reminded as we look to the life of Jesus, we're reminded that God has given each of us a purpose. That none of us in here, no, not a single person in here is purposeless. We can say, oh, well, when you're young, you think one day I will have purpose. When you're old, you may think, well, once I did have purpose. But what we find in the scriptures is that, no, Jesus at 12 years old knew that He had purpose. At 12 years old, you know what Jesus said? Father, you would know that I would be about Your business. At 12, He had purpose. There are children in here, and you have a purpose in this life. What is that purpose? It is following your Savior. It is loving Him, trusting Him, obeying Him, serving Him. Oh, that our young people would know that they have purpose. That just as Jesus lived, they can live. Just as He lived trusting in His Father, you can live trusting in your Father. How many of us we wish we knew at 12 years old what our purpose for life was? Why? Because when we are able to focus and follow that, oh, how much better is our life? Oh, we don't wander off onto this side or that side. No, we know our purpose is to love God, to enjoy Him, and to follow Him. Oh, but maybe you thought that was my purpose at one point. At one point, I knew what my purpose was. I knew that my purpose was to proclaim this death of our Savior. Maybe I knew that my purpose was to proclaim this when I was at work or at home, but now I don't know what my purpose is. Well, Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He says that because his life is over. He has accomplished his purpose. And if you have breath today, it does not matter how old you will get. And I pray every one of you live to be 103. It doesn't matter how old you get, God has still given you a purpose. And that purpose is to live a cross-filled life. One that proclaims with Paul in Galatians, it is not I who live, but it is Christ who lives through me. And this life I now live, I live to the glory of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is your purpose. To proclaim the death of Jesus, the one who trusts his Father. The one who in power gave his life up because he would be resurrected one day. This is our purpose. Trusting in the fact that God will save us and will resurrect us one day. That when we taste death, that we will raise again. So what are some applications for us? We see the lesson of trust. We see the lesson of power. We see the lesson of purpose. But what are some applications for us? What does this mean for us? Well, like Jesus, you will die. Like Jesus, you will die. Unless Jesus comes back, I pray that he does, but unless Jesus comes back, you will die. Every one of us in here. And we are not promised the day, we are not promised the hour, we are not promised the minute, but we know we will die. So the question for us is, are we prepared to die as Jesus died? Are we prepared? Our prayer ought to be, Lord, help me to die well. Help me to die well. I knew a girl once, and she had never made a profession of faith. She had come from a Christian family. She was very, very active in church, never missed a Sunday. She never made a profession of faith. And when asked why she had never made a profession of faith, why she had never trusted in Jesus, she said, I want a testimony first. What? I want a testimony first. I want to make mistakes first. That way when I get saved, everybody knows that I was really saved. Oh, but here's the problem with that. We aren't promised tomorrow. In the book of James, James tells us, don't say tomorrow I'm going to go off and do business here and there. He says, you don't know. Your life is a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Many of us in here, we have walked with the Lord. We have walked with him time in and time out. Like the hymn says, we have how I've proved him over and over. Over and over, I have come to him to see if he would be faithful. And over, he has been faithful. Your prayer ought to be, Lord, help me to die in that same faithfulness. Whenever the day comes, Lord, help me to die in that faithfulness. Help me to trust in you as I take my last breath. Help me to trust in you as my soul is ushered into your hands. Sometimes crossing that river is tough. Sometimes crossing that river is the unknown, the fear of it. None of us can ever be truly prepared. And yet we can trust God and say, God, when that time comes, prepare me. And yet some of you, death is the last thing on your mind because death is the thing that you fear the greatest. That is because you have never trusted in Jesus. You have never placed your faith in him. You can't cry, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. You have never committed your spirit to him in the first place. You say, tomorrow I will do this and that. Tomorrow I will do such and such. And yet today is the day of salvation. Today is the day this Jesus on the cross is crying out to you, come and be saved. Come and trust that the cross is sufficient, that it can save. This morning, are you prepared to die? Last night we had storms, and any of those storms could have blown through our community and devastated it. And yet God, in his sovereign mercy, protected us. Yet we are not promised what will happen when we drive to town for lunch today. And so the question for us is, have you trusted in Jesus? Can you say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit today and tomorrow and for all eternity? Father, I'm not trusting in my good works. I'm not trusting in my church membership. I'm not trusting in me being a good person. I am trusting in your faultless sacrifice. I am trusting in Jesus who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. I am trusting in that. If you can't say that, you are not prepared to die. As we read, we understand that Jesus' death reminds us that he is worth trusting. What a mighty God we serve. What a Savior who can pay for our sins. This morning, do you know what your purpose is? Monday, when you clock into work, do you know what God has created you to do? Your tongue was meant to proclaim his glory. Your hands were meant to serve him. Your feet were meant to go and proclaim the gospel to your neighbors and your family and your coworkers. Today, God has given you a purpose. He has showed it to you by sending his son to die upon the cross. You are worth something. And so today, will you trust in this God for his purpose? Will you trust and live out these things? Will you trust in the God who sent his son to die on the cross? Will you trust in that son who cries out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit"? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray this morning that you would bless your word. We pray, Father, that you would continue to be with our church, that you would continue to show us how amazing you are and what you have done on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.